It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
And we continue to celebrate 10 years of lightning on the streets and lightning on your mailboxes and lightning on the radio with Mr. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Lightning Radio Thursday to you.
Good soggy lightning Thursday morning. I was hoping when I heard Mr. Speranza, he'd say rain's going to quit and the sun's going to come out. But looks like that ain't yet.
Well, not yet. It is going to quit and the sun is going to come out, but let's wait until tomorrow.
I'm driving east, and I think I'm going to drive out of this mess.
You are going to drive out of this mess.
Yeah.
You are definitely going to drive out of this mess.
I checked the weather down the mountain, and it's better than it is up on the mountain.
But we got a beautiful weekend coming. The humidity's moving out of here. Low to mid-70s on Saturday. Perfect for Garden Jubilee, which we'll talk about here in a minute.
Flowers will be smiling under that sun.
They sure will. They sure will. Bill, let's start with the front page of the Lightning, of course. Still, of course, in the news, political season. Chuck Edwards, you got a great story here and a great question and answer story here with Chuck Edwards.
Yeah, it's a very popular periodic, you might say, Lightning Q&A of figures in the news. And in this case, in some quarters, surprising, I was one of them, a bit surprised he pulled off this upset of one of the most high-profile legislators for reasons good, bad, and indifferent, I suppose you might say, in that May 17 Republican primary to become the Republican nominee and vanquish Representative Madison Cawthorn as the after one term as representing the 11th Congressional District.
Exactly. And you had some interesting questions and got some answers from Chuck.
Yeah, it was fun. I heard that on happened to listen to WTZQ News and heard that the headline answer, which was, I look forward to taking the gavel out of Pelosi's hands. But what do we ask him? One of them, we start off with, when Representative Cawthorn changed his mind and decided to defend his seat, he was going to go down the mountain to that Cleveland County-centric outside in the outskirts of Charlotte seat that was even more Republican-friendly, and then it got redrawn. And then he came home, and that caused him really a world of trouble that ended up meaning that the voters fired him for that reason, I guess, and some others. Did he consider pulling out and just staying in the state Senate where he'd gotten some seniority and managed to get a lot done? And although he says it certainly was a consideration, but when he came back, after he decided to come back, I was more convinced than ever to stay here in the mountains because I felt like we needed someone to represent us that truly had the interest of the people in the mountains at heart and wasn't seeking a political career, which is kind of that statement sort of encompasses the, and we go on to ask him what was the strategy. And that was more or less, he's the Kardashian candidate. We like that line from early on in one of his 30-second spots. Do you want a Kardashian, like we say, a shiny object, or do you want a workaday legislator, businessman with a record of getting things done? And we asked, in this case, the question was more fun than the answer. In the course of the campaign, it seemed like almost a daily whack-a-mole of revelations about Madison Cawthorn. What was your sense of what was going on in the 11th Congressional District in the weeks and days heading into the primary election? And he just is straight up with that. We stayed solely focused on our campaign strategy. And so on to introduce Chuck Edwards to the part of the district that did not know him yet. He points out that some 60% of the district had voted for him three times as a state representative in the 48th State Senate District. But we did think this was an interesting question as well. What did Representative Cawthorn say when he called you on election night? He offered his congratulations in a very gracious and tactful manner. Senator Edwards told us, and offered his support to help me win in November in absolutely any way he could contribute. And then finally, do you have in mind, if you were to win and then be sworn in next January, the first couple things you'd like to do? The first thing, he told us, is I'm looking forward to taking the gavel out of Nancy Pelosi's hand. So that's a pretty safe statement, probably, to utter if you're running in the 11th congressional district of Western North Carolina.
Right. Now, he also had to defend a little bit the accusation, if you would, from the Bruce O'Connell ads, calling him a career politician.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. In fact, that is, as the Lightning is often prone to do, we, in any interview, even if it's not any interview, almost any interview setting, we say, anything else important about it that we have failed to bring up? You'd like the readers to know, in this case, the voters to know. And yeah, he actually, he bites on that because he wants to say it's unfortunate that in primary campaigns, a lot of misinformation is presented to voters. Probably the most significant misinformation was about me and my support of voter ID. And that is, as you mentioned, a 30-second spot by Bruce O'Connell that I think it said he voted against the voter ID or voted to repeal or opposed it. And I don't even know what the source of that was, but Senator Edwards called it an absolute unfounded smear. I'd like for folks out there to know that I have never voted against voter ID. I have and will always continue to support bringing voter ID to North Carolinians. And end quote. So as we know that we still there, you, if you went to the election last week, you know that you didn't have to show your ID. Still hung up in courts. Has been hung up in courts for how long? 10 years?
As long as I can remember.
A long time. It was voted as a constitutional amendment by the people. So it's still out there hanging fire in this forever lawsuit.
Yeah.
Appeal.
Okay. Let's move on to the other story we have here on the front page and help clear this up a little bit, Bill. I haven't read much about this story. I was looking forward to you coming in here today to talk to us about this, and that is the Dixie Diner tragedy.
Yeah, it's the sordid mess of the Dixie Diner, of the murder of the Dixie Diner, longtime popular waitress, not just there, but many other restaurants her whole adult life, going back 30 years to and most recently Dixie Diner, where she had taken it over back in January from the owner, had apparently bought it. Anyway, she was a proprietor of it. Paulette Gibbs, known as Paula instead of Paulette, apparently, Clark. She was very badly injured in that beating and robbery on May 6th. And we got calls on it. We got emails. We got texts and questions right about the murder of the wonderful Paula Clark. And we finally did start to get some information. We got a little bit of information about the arrest of this grandson, Austin Burnside. And so then we started to we actually picked up a lot of court files and we picked up the arrest records and prison records and so forth before it ever came out in that sheriff's department news conference on Monday. Actually on the same day, they didn't have to pick up Mr. Burnside because he was already in jail on some previous charges from about a week earlier on possession of cocaine and identity theft and parole violation. He was already in jail when they began to interrogate him about this murder. They charged Mr. Burnside. They charged Mr. Burnside's uncle, Maurice Jones Jr., who is the son of Paula Clark. In the news conference on Monday, Sheriff Griffin told us that one of the roles of Mr. Maurice Jones Jr. was in apparently letting Mr. Burnside into the house. So they're charged with first degree murder, and Burnside is not Maurice Jones is charged with first degree murder and conspiracy to commit robbery with a dangerous weapon. Dangerous weapon being a BB gun, which was fired and apparently into Ms. Clark's eye and lodged into her brain, causing brain damage, which ultimately resulted in her death 1 week after this.
Wow.
Terrible robbery and terribly botched robbery, as far as that goes, resulting in death. Burnside has a criminal record dating to 2018, when he would have been about 18, in Henderson and Transylvania counties, including making threats, assaulting an officer or state employee, possession of drugs, assault, and malicious conduct while in prison. Bad hombre is going to spend many, 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 many more years in prison.
That's a heartbreaking story.
It is.
It is.
Never should have happened.
Nope. But we've got good news coming up after the break. You are listening to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Branding is one of the single most important aspects of your business, and it's not just about a logo and a tagline. You need a brand that raises awareness while staying true to your values and goals. A brand that grabs the attention of customers and makes them want to choose you over your competitors. This is Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative. If your business or nonprofit needs to be more visible, recognizable, and memorable, visit lscreative.studio and click Let's Chat. I'm Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative, and you need me.
J.E. Goff, E. Goff Motors in Brevard here with us. Car business has happened. You guys are doing as good now as you ever have.
Yes, Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, used and certified as well over in Brevard. We sold the same amount of new cars that we did 2-3 years ago, just last month. Used cars still the same. You drive by our lot and the lot is full.
You have plenty of inventory and no markup.
A lot of dealers are selling over sticker. The new cars are a little bit harder to come by. They come in a little bit slower, but we don't do that because we know the worm is going to turn, and we don't want to be the dealer that marks up new or used inventory. Going back to the new inventory, a lot of people are ordering their vehicles, so they're coming in just the way they want it, right options, right color, and they're still selling.
The bottom line is, business is good for EGOF Motors in Brevard because you're taking care of people and you've got plenty of inventory.
Yep. Service good. Cars are good. Customer service is great. Just very proud and blessed to be in Western North Carolina and welcoming everybody.
EGOF Motors.
Thank you. EGOFMotors.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
And we are back with the Lightning Radio News Show here on your community radio station, WTZQ. Hendersonville Lightning, of course, celebrating 10 years of the best in local news right here in Hendersonville and Henderson County. Bill, let's move on to some fun stuff. Education. Let's have an education moment here. First of all, a big congratulations to Karen Whiting, our Teacher of the Year.
Yeah, we got some a couple good education, good news stories. Congratulations, as you say, to Ms. Whiting, a fourth grade English, language arts, and social studies teacher at Glenn C. Marlowe Elementary School. That it's a terrific elementary school out there in Mills River.
Yeah.
She's got 17 years of teaching experience, including middle and high school special ed in Texas and North Carolina for the first half of her career. And now she's in her ninth year there teaching and coaching and mentoring those little Marlowe Mustangs. And she has a great comment on her philosophy of teaching the youngins and making them into good young people. She says, I make it a priority to really get to know them, including sitting with them at lunch, playing with them at recess, and here's the going home line, and using our morning check-in to hear their hearts.
Wow.
So this is a teacher that, you know, some teachers during recess, they make it a time to chit-chat or relax, which is okay. I don't blame him.
That's absolutely
probably what I would do if I was out there instead of playing with them at recess and getting on the seesaw or playing tag or whatever it is she does. She plays with them. She sits with them at lunch. And best of all, she takes the time to hear their hearts in the morning. And as her principal, John Hart, says, she gets to know every single one of her students on such a personal level and the parents, and she really formed a classroom community that addresses every kid's needs. And they also heard at that event last week at Jeter Mountain Farm They heard from Lauren Young. Congratulations to Lauren, a senior at West Henderson High School and student government leader who told the teachers, despite all the difficulties teaching has thrown at you in the past years, you're still embracing your profession with passion and dedication to and for your students. So congratulations to all 22, I guess it would
yes.
be,
yep.
Teachers of the Year from all of our wonderful public schools and public and charter schools in Henderson County. And congratulations especially to Karen Whiting, who gets an all-expense-paid trip. She gets a commemorative plaque and an expense-paid trip to a state education conference of her choice, $1,000 from one of the sponsors. And beginning last year, thank you very much, Teacher of the Year receives $4,500 toward a vacation getaway of their choice, donated by Boyd Chevrolet.
That is fantastic. It's fantastic and very well deserved. Let's stay on education because we had the announcement of the new superintendent who will come in after John Bryant's retirement, I guess at the end of June.
Yeah, big shoes to fill, to be sure, but the very friendly and bow tie wearing Mark Garrett, a Tennessee native who has won praise for his innovative leadership of McDowell County Schools, he will succeed Dr. Bryant as the new superintendent of Henderson County Public Schools, effective July 1st.
And it sounds to me like from the story that he comes with quite a pedigree or quite an a list of achievements.
And interestingly, I don't think they put this in the story, but I heard Mr. Garrett, and he's not Dr. He doesn't everyone love to call Dr. Bryant, deservedly Dr. Bryant, but he's Mr. Garrett, I guess, not all the way to a PhD, at least not yet. But Mr. Garrett, he's also the son of a county commissioner from out there in East Tennessee.
Okay.
He's a native of, what does it say there, Jefferson City. He's a native of Jefferson City, okay. Tennessee, where he started his career. He moving to North Carolina in 2001 to join the Watauga County Schools as Watauga High School's assistant principal. In 2002, he became principal of Valley Cruces School. Valley Cruces known for what?
Mass General Store.
Original home of the Mass General Store.
Right.
Valley Cruces in Watauga County, where he served for 2 years before moving to Avery County from 2004 to 2012. Mr. Garrett served as principal at Avery County High School, then became assistant superintendent in McDowell in 2012, and has done a lot of really cool stuff there. In the 2016-2017 school year, he oversaw creation of a STEM magnet school, which has been named an ICLE National Model School in North Carolina STEM School of Distinction. When he soon after he started, he restructured the grade level composition after I think most school systems in the state had done this to shift K-6, 7 through 9, and 10 through 12 to K-5, 6 through 8, and 9 through 12, which is the more common mm-hmm. elementary, middle, and high schools, I think. A shift that involved a two-year plan relocating staff and students and reconfiguring every bus route in the county.
Wow.
That by itself would would cause a lot of head scratching and mm-hmm. line moving and
yes.
and ciphering, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
His work launching a telemedicine program for McDowell students while in school earned him the School Board Health Alliance North Carolina Superintendent of the Year Award in 2012.
Fantastic.
And then finally, what else is in distinction about Mr. Garrett is vis-a-vis Henderson County Schools?
I would say that for the first time in recent memory, the school board has hired someone outside of the school system.
You read my mind, and you read the fifth paragraph. The hiring of Mr. Garrett, the county school system's seventh superintendent, marks the first time since Stephen Page was hired from Buncombe County in 2004 mm-hmm. that the school board has brought in a new leader from outside the central office. After Page, the board had voted three times to elevate the second-in-command administrator to the top job,
right.
David Jones, Bo Caldwell, and Dr. Bryant.
Yeah, interesting. it'll be interesting to get to know Mr. Garrett, won't it?
I think he'll be press savvy, which we always love. I think he'll be really transparent, as Dr. Bryant always was, as Bo always was, as David Jones always was. And I think he'll be great with the school board. And I think great with the students. I'd say that's number one. Maybe school board two, but maybe tied with the school board. Great with the county commissioners.
Yeah.
Four of whom were there to greet him and chat him up and congratulate him. So we all thought it was going to be nigh on to impossible to replace Dr. Bryant. And we don't know for sure that he'll be as good as Dr. Bryant, but it's a good hire.
Sure.
A good hire.
It certainly looks that way. Let's talk about one of the very popular features in the Weekly Lightning, and that is Ask Matt. And I'm looking forward to the answer to this one because I've asked the same thing. What's up with the ragged out roundabout there at Irkwood?
I'm glad to hear.
Goodness gracious,
you asked that, and I'm glad to hear that. Ask Matt got asked that. Matt Madison. Someone asked Matt Madison that question because I too had gotten that. Man, that looks fun. We got this nice roundabout. It's good. It makes it safer and easier and more efficient to get around. But what in the heck? Why don't they plant some flowers in there?
Right. And it is certainly well lit. I'll put it that way.
It is that. And there's some signage. And there's some weeds.
And there are some weeds,
as the cut line says. Well, let's see. Let's just go to the answer. Why didn't they landscape the traffic circle on Greenville Highway, Irkwood Drive, and Shepherd Street? No plants, flowers, art, or anything. Just weeds. It's an eyesore. Sadly, what you see is what you get. The state's, quote, median standard, which means we're not going to do anything. NCDOT officials report that there are no plans for additional vegetations. Neither the other two roundabouts in the county, he points out. Ferncliff Boulevard, which is on the way to Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, and Brookside Camp Road at Howard Gap have enhanced landscaping. Now, here's a little bit of a forecast of a hint of some possible good news. Municipalities or garden clubs may enter into, quote, a continued maintenance agreement with NCDOT. But for safety purposes, specific landscaping standards such as type, height, location, plants must be met. And if you know the NCDOT bureaucracy, that's probably a 100-page memorandum of understanding in order for you to plant your marigolds or your azalea bushes out there.
Interesting.
But here, it actually, something is going to happen on roundabouts that's going to look really good. NCDOT, as we've talked about in the past, has plans to build four roundabouts on U.S. 64 West, three of them inside the boundaries of Laurel Park, which has been working very closely and very aggressively with the NCDOT for plans to landscape, make bicycle-friendly, make pedestrian-friendly these roundabouts, because they have plans to make, along with the landscape, that a showcase gateway of Laurel Park.
Sure.
It's going to be good.
That makes sense. Lots of other questions for Ask Matt, too.
Yeah, this is a good. And for those, Lightning readers that have been saying, where's Ask Matt? He's ended up on the cutting room floor, through election for probably four or five issues.
Yeah.
So we catch up with 1, 2, 3, 4 Ask Matt questions in this issue. Did United States Senator Bob Dole of Kansas ever visit Henderson County? Yes, as a matter of fact, at least once. Jeff Miller became close to Senator Dole when Miller co-founded and led the Honor Air Program, which flies World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. to visit the National World War II Memorial. Miller invited Dole to Hendersonville in 2008. That would have been 3 years after he had founded Honor Air for the North Carolina Apple Festival.
I remember that.
I do, too. Senator Dole was also campaigning for his wife's unsuccessful reelection bid against Democrat Kay Hagan. Remember that big year of voter turnout
with
the Barack Obama's election in 2008. Senator Dole attended the festival opening King Apple Breakfast, sponsored by the Kiwanis Club. What's also notable is that Senator Elizabeth Liddy Dole, who married Bob in 1975, she maintained an office on Main Street in a Senate office in Hendersonville during her one term in the U.S. Senate, which was 2003 to 2009. And then he inserts a fun fact, which is Graham Fields, known by many as a public face of Advent Health and a member of many local nonprofit boards, especially those associated with health care. He served. That's what brought him here. He served as Senator Dole's Western North Carolina aide.
Yep, that's when I first met him. He was doing that.
Me too. And then why is the city of Hendersonville tearing out the shuffleboard courts at the Whitmire Activity Center on Lily Pad Drive? Not so fast, Matt says. Not all the courts are being removed, just those that are falling into disrepair and have not been used in years. The local shuffleboard club maintains the operational courts. And then finally, in an encore question, because of its Ukraine connection, what's the story behind the Rosden Mall mosaic? You know it there at the Hands-On Children's Museum,
yep.
Black Bear Coffee. It was made by, and you can get your lightning to read your whole answer, by two artists, husband and wife, who came here because they were refugees from Chernobyl in Ukraine.
Wow.
Back in 1986.
Interesting.
And I did not know this until I read this, that the owners of Rosden Mall, it stands for Rosemary and Don Gladio.
I did not know that either. I knew Don Gladio well, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, All Creatures Great and Small.
Yeah. And General Travel Agency.
I didn't know that.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? And then, there was an interesting, he quotes Michael Arrowood of the Henderson County Tourism, who recalled that it was completed in 1993. They came here, and Chernobyl was in 1996. I misstated that date a minute ago. He related that the colorful tile came from Mexico and that there was a rush to finish the project before cold weather set in. And then Michael Arrowood, who speaks Russian, he served as a translator for the Polavors, I guess they were, and got to know them well. Basil Polavor was once a brilliant and celebrated artist in Ukraine, Mr. Arrowood said. Sadly, his religious beliefs got him in trouble with the government, and he was forced to work in a brick factory. So I don't know that... Don't know what became of them, but that's a nice addition to the downtown, one of the better facades.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. An interesting story behind it. Let's squeeze in a couple of more here, Bill, before we head out. First of all, congratulations to the Lady Falcons and their 3A championship for track and field, right?
Absolutely. Led by a lot of standouts, but among the standing outest of the standouts, hurdler Emma Hall won two state championships in the – let's see, were they, two of the hurdle dashes, and winning first place in the 4x8 relay team was Alyssa Madera, Ava Kilpatrick, Paisley Stepp, and Brianna Budzinski, and a relay team of, they won 300, that was a 4x800, the relay team of Carlin Davis, Emma Hall, Kate Leonard and Jasmine Banks placed second in the 4x10 and third in the 4x200, and Budzinski placed fourth herself in the individual 3200 and received the Sportsmanship Award.
Fantastic.
So congratulations to the Lady Falcons and to the coach, Faith Soker, and the men's coach, Randy Lytle, who also coaches some of the women's events as well. Congratulations to those fantastic athletes and their coach for that championship.
Absolutely. And bouncing around some community news, Interfaith Assistance Ministry celebrated their new thrift store this past weekend very successfully, I understand.
Yes, the Lightning was there to cover that on Friday. A really good turnout for the ribbon cutting and some nice talking about the Interfaith Assistance Ministry and all the crisis services that it delivers to the community. Congratulations to past president, Rabbi Rachel Jackson. Congratulations. And thank you to current president and on-site daily coordinator, overseer of the project of building of the new thrift shop. Rick Merrill, congratulations and thank you to Tony Hamilton Tangelo.
Mm-hmm.
It's dedicated to Tony's wife, Allison.
Right.
And he made a nice donation to help get this off the ground. Congratulations. And thank you to Trey Ford and Cooper Construction, who built it, the many IAM board members and volunteers who make these services happen.
Yep, and it's been a very successful thrift store so far, so we wish it continued success. Curb Market, they're going to celebrate their 98th birthday coming up in June. That's quite a milestone.
That is a milestone. They are having a 98th anniversary celebration, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, June 4, with a hot dog plate available for purchase, live music by Twofer, with David Emmons and Glenn Case, balloons, treats, activities for the children, including Planet Flower Project, and lots of other good stuff, such as baked goods and flowers, tomato plants, whatever you can buy there, right there on Church Street.
And, of course, lots more community news in this week's Lightning, but let's touch on the fact that got a big weekend downtown Hendersonville this weekend, Garden Jubilee for Memorial Weekend.
Back in person, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. They're super excited to be back to a full festival on the street this year. Amy Boswell of Visit Hendersonville tells the Lightning it was nice to be able to modify the event and still have it during the pandemic, but it feels good to return to our normal festivities. Amen to that. And approximately 150 vendors set up on the street to sell thousands of plants, including annuals, perennials, vegetables, fruit plants, herbs, and unusual varieties, lots of crafts, garden-themed art, lawn furniture, jewelry, birdhouses, and lots more.
And it doesn't look like it now, but the weather's going to be beautiful for it.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful.
Let's project ahead to Saturday and Sunday, where that's going to be good weather.
Yeah. And speaking of Memorial Day, the Memorial Day service at Forest Lawn Memorial Park will take place again this year, and WTZQ will be there to put it live on the radio again for folks who aren't able to go out in person.
What is the time for that?
That is 11 o'clock, 11 to noon.
11 o'clock. Okay.
At Forest Lawn Memorial Park, right around the corner here. Bill, there's plenty more in this week's Lightning. People need to pick it up so they can find out what's going on in our community. How do they pick up their copy of the Lightning?
By boarding your kayak so you can paddle out to your closest in the rain and the flood watch and to your closest Lightning rack, Lightning Orange rack all around the county, or visit a dealer partner such as a coffee shop or convenience store or Publix grocery store, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on Lightning, and do it now for only a few more days before the June 1st price increase. We got United States Postal Service, we got printing costs, we got labor costs, we got distribution costs, so have to try to increase that just a tad. So we're letting you subscribe or renew now before the price increase. So do that by going on to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe, or also easy as pie by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.